Jeremiah 17, Proverbs 28. And I want you to see something here in just a second. All right. Let's stand together. We're going to start in Matthew chapter number 6. And it's a familiar passage, but I want you to see it here. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? All right, I want to use that passage this morning. And you'll have a couple minutes still to find Jeremiah 17 if you need to. But I want to talk to you about putting your heart where it belongs. Putting your heart where it belongs. Now, this message really is for saved and unsaved. It's not a gospel message, but the truth of it, I think, could apply to saved and unsaved. At the end, I'll give a gospel invitation. But we had several people, several guests here today, and a lot of members here today, and we have people watching online or whatever. And I just want to say to you that 3 hours, in fact, it's been 3 hours ago now, that's how we start our day here. At 8:30, we had a men's prayer meeting out in the gym. And in the prayers, people were praying, if someone comes today and doesn't know Christ as their Savior, Lord, would you save them today? And God, would you work on all of our hearts today? So I pray that we'll not make church just another event for the week. And we're not here just to be seen or heard, but we're here to see and hear what God has for us. All right? Putting your heart where it belongs. Let's pray. Lord, would you bless our time together in your word this morning? I pray you bless our drive-in children's church in the back, and our bus children's church out in the gym, all the workers and all the kids that are back there. Pray you do a great work in their midst. But Lord, we ask you to meet with us, the adults, the teenagers here today, about this truth that will apply to each one of us. We'll thank you for what you do. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We've all heard the phrase, just follow your heart. Disney teaches kids, and I don't know if they teach anything anymore because it's offensive, but Disney teaches kids. Here's one of their songs. Fly to who you are. Climb upon your star. You believe you'll find your wings. Fly to your heart. Teenagers are influenced also by music and by songs. There's an old rock song that says, this is the time for yourself to be free. You're gonna follow your heart. This is the time in your life, and it's never too late to see the light in the dark. You gotta follow your heart. Adults can be influenced by music, by song, by lyric. Also, there's an old country song that says, the heart won't lie. Adults can be really bad about saying this. Maybe you've done this. You know, my heart's just not in it anymore. You say, my heart's just not in the job that I have. I just, you know, it's just not in it. That my heart's not in the career. Maybe you've been to this place in your life, you've made this kind of statement. Well, you know, my heart's just not in this marriage anymore. Maybe around church here, you've said something like this. You know, my heart's just not in this ministry anymore. I used to be a bus worker. I used to teach Sunday school. Or maybe you're doing those things. You say, I used to enjoy those things. My heart is just not in it anymore. Sometimes that happens with someone in church. They say, you know, my heart is just not in that church anymore. But the truth is this, and then we'll look at those scriptures I asked you to turn to. The truth is this, God never intended people to follow their heart. Never. All right, look at Jeremiah chapter number 17. Jeremiah 17. Let me reiterate that, because that is completely contrary to what society teaches. Just follow your heart, you'll be okay. Don't listen to what the authorities are saying. Don't listen to what the preacher says. Don't listen to what your parents say. You gotta follow your heart. And God says, not true. In fact, listen to what the Bible says in Jeremiah 17 and in verse number 9. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is, what's that next word? deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Look at Proverbs 28. If you can turn there, Proverbs 28. Well, I wanted you to see this one so you knew it wasn't me calling you this. It was God. Proverbs chapter 28. And look at verse number 26. Just follow your heart, right? Just follow your heart. Look at Proverbs 28 and verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a, what's that word? But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. All right? Now, that's very important, young people, that you see that. The God of heaven who created you, who has a perfect plan for your life, he says contrary to what just about everyone in your life has told you up to this point. Follow your heart. What are you going to do one day when you grow up? Oh, I don't know. Well, son, just follow your heart. Well, who are you going to marry one day? Well, I don't know. Just follow your heart. Well, is this a career you want? I don't know. You've got to follow your heart. God says, no. The heart is deceitful. The heart is desperately wicked. The Bible says, God says, if you trust in your own heart, you are a fool. The heart is the seat of the emotions. The heart deals then with how we feel. We won't always feel like obeying our parents. We won't always feel, adults, like going to work. We won't always feel like going to church. How many times, maybe this morning, I realize, and every preacher realizes that this is a groggy morning for everyone because it's different with time change. But how many times have you, on a regular basis, not wanted to go to church because you were overly tired, or you just didn't feel well, or the kid got their outfit dirty right before you got, and you're just like, man, I just wish we could just go back inside, YouTube it, you know, and didn't want to go. But you came to church anyways, and that first song you struggled with, and second song you started mumbling a little bit, third song you finally picked your songbook up, and the preaching took place, and the Spirit of God began to work on you, and you fellowship with your friends, and when you left, you thought, man, it was good to be in the house of God. We cannot follow our feelings. You may not always feel like staying married. The Bible calls us fools for following our heart. Now I want to give you the definition of a fool based on the Webster's 1828 dictionary. You ready for it? Can you handle it? I know we're the Mr. Potato Head, Mrs. Potato Head, generic Potato Head society today. And we get offended at the smallest stuff. Here's what the Bible says a fool is by definition. One who is destitute of reason or the common powers of understanding. Here's the last phrase. I don't know why I like this so much. Because sometimes I'm a fool. Here's the last phrase. An idiot. That was in the dictionary. I'm writing it down. I just chuckled at myself. I thought, man, I sure am an idiot sometimes. My wife probably say it all the time. But I'm an idiot sometimes. Now, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. He that trusteth in his own heart is an idiot. I can say it because I didn't write it. It was written in the dictionary. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be known or remembered as a fool, an idiot who ruined everything good in my life just because I obeyed my feelings and followed my heart. Young people, please don't forget that because you are taught that. Adults, we've got to be corrected by the Word of God. We've got to have our mind renewed, remodeled by the Word of God. And we've got to quit thinking, well, my heart just tells me, shh, don't listen to your heart. We don't go based on emotion. We don't go based on feeling. We go based on fact and truth. And the truth is, your heart follows your treasure. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. Back in our text there, Matthew 6. And verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. All right, skip ahead to verse number 22, talking about the light and the darkness. Verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness. To realize the truth about the heart today is to begin to see clearly, in other words, to have the light come on, to ignore the truth, this truth, and to live based on how you feel at that moment, is what it's teaching there, is to walk in darkness. And the Bible tells us that God's Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. All right, so if I've always been taught, well, you follow your heart. If your heart's not in it anymore, you get a divorce. If your heart's not in it anymore, you quit your church. If your heart's not in it anymore, you just get off the bus route. If your heart's not in it anymore, you just change careers. That's what we've always thought, and that's the way we've been programmed by the world. But God says, God says, my way is completely opposite of the world's way. He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. All right, so what is treasure then? Matthew chapter 6, 21 there. What treasure is he speaking of? All right, treasure, by definition, in general, is a great quantity of anything. For where your treasure is, for where the great quantity of anything in your life is, there will your heart be also. All right, so where the greatest quantity of, and we always use time, talent, and treasure, where the greatest quantity of your time, talent, and treasure is, your heart's going to be there also. All right, let me give you a couple of examples, and then I'm going to take that formula and apply it to our life. All right, someone says, well, you know, we've been out of church a while, we've been thinking about coming back, but we just don't know. We don't know if we're going to, what happened? Their time was not invested here anymore. Our heart's not in that church. Well, certainly it's not. Your time's not in it. Your treasure's not in it. You're not using your talent for God. It's no wonder God said that your heart will not be in it. All right. Now, try this formula with your marriage. I don't know if there's someone here today who have a marriage trouble, but I do know this. We all have battles from time to time. And sometimes it's tougher, sometimes it's less, sometimes it's maybe a knockdown, drag out time in your life. Maybe some of you in here, it's just constant. I don't know. But I want you to try this formula with your marriage. Well, my heart's just not in my marriage anymore. Well, was it ever in your marriage? Well, yes. All right, then how do you get your heart back in your marriage? Here it is. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you're never investing in your marriage, don't be surprised if your heart's not in your marriage. All of a sudden, the wife is more comfortable around her friends. The husband's more comfortable around his buddies. And the marriage is just made up of when the kids are around or when the grandkids are around. But there's never a husband and wife date. There's never a husband and wife lunch together. There's never a husband and wife trip. And before you know it, see, husbands, we think, well, you marry a wife and they're just always going to be there. And when you get home, they're just going to be there, take care of everything you need. But the wife has a multitude of needs herself. And we as husbands have got to learn, I've got to invest back in my marriage. You say, I just don't know if I want to stay married. Well, of course you don't, if you're not putting anything into it, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What about your ministry or your church? All right, you call Brother Trent. You say, Brother Trent, I'm not going to make the bus visitation today. And then you say, well, Brother Trent, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to ride on the bus today. And then 2 weeks later, Brother Trent, I got something going on. You know, my second cousin's uncle's brother's dog has a birthday. And so I can't visit the bus route today. Before long, you say, you know, my heart's just not, it's just not in the bus ministry like it used to be. I'm not making this up. Are you seeing the formula? Where your treasure is, there we heart be also. I was talking to Brother Greg last night, and they worked that bus route there out at Tewakoni, and the Cunninghams worked with them. And Brother Greg, you know, he's 46, my age, or right, maybe 45, 46. But he said, man, I got to get some young blood helpers on our bus route. I said, Brother Greg, isn't that a shame we have so many young couples and young adults that won't get committed to the bus ministry? Because it takes work. And he said, I'm just going to try to, he talked about a couple, he said, I'm going to try to talk to them or them about maybe visiting with us. Because you know, if you see it out there, and Brother Greg's in our children's church this morning, he won't act right, so we keep him back there, but he's in our children's church. I said, I was sitting at my desk last night, I said, Brother Greg, that's exactly what I'm preaching on in the morning, is where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Mine eye affecteth mine heart. The more talking about your ministry, you're talking about church in general, the more you miss, the less you miss it. If I miss one Sunday because I'm going on vacation or I'm preaching somewhere, I'll be preaching somewhere next Sunday. Brother Trent will be preaching all day. That's the day to invite all your family and friends. Trent's preaching. And by the way, I'm for it. I'm for whoever will listen to whoever and get saved. Absolutely. But if I miss one Sunday, I can't wait till Wednesday night to be back with God's people. I just can't. Now, if I miss a couple Sundays and I'm like, I don't know. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I just don't know if I need to be teaching anymore. Well, when is the last time you visited anyone in your class? I realize it's kind of a Sunday night message. A lot of our workers aren't even in here right now. But do you see the formula? You're not putting anything into it. No, there's no doubt I walked around the building early this morning. Man, I was so thrilled to see the teachers, the efforts they put into their decorating this morning. And hey, by the way, the kids notice too. The students notice. They're running down to Miss Mason's room and she's got all this fishing stuff and they're looking. And then Cheyenne says, "Preacher, look at my room." And I looked in there and Miss Lexi's in children's church this morning, but she has some llamas in there and I forget what it said now, but I don't even know, but it's something about a llama and take your problems to Jesus. I don't know if it meant ride a llama to tell your problems to, I don't know. Something that rhymed in there. They were so thrilled. If you're not putting anything into your area of ministry, don't be surprised if your heart's not there. What about your children? What about your children? I've been pastor for over 20 years, and man, one of my main goals is not to lose my children, not to lose a relationship with my children. I don't want to help your family and not have and keep a right relationship with my own kids. And Josh was actually preaching in bus church this morning, but if he was in here and Sarah's sitting in here, I don't have to make this stuff up. I've always had a right relationship with my children. By the way, we've had rules, we've had expectations, and they haven't been drugged to church because they've enjoyed going to church and serving the Lord. But friend, listen, you say, "I don't have a good relationship with my children." Let me ask you a question. Do you have their hearts? How much of your treasure have you invested in gaining and keeping their hearts? I'm not talking about buying their love. I'm talking about when is the last time that your boy went with a ride for you to get some donuts? When is the last time Sarah and I went and had lunch together the other day and just she and I? And that's what I'm saying is, are you following the formula? Apply it to anything in your life. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We've had a lot of struggles. My mother-in-law died 6 months ago, suddenly in a sense. We all remember that. And my mother-in-law died, and Sarah's been away at college, and we had the gym going on, and we had all this stuff going on. It's been an emotional time, a stressful time, a tired time. And you know what? We got to about the middle of January, and I told Miss Hodge, I said, "We need to get out of town. And we need to get out of town. Sarah's at college. Surely we can dump Joshua on Ethan or somebody. And we just, you and I, we need to go." You say, "Oh, what was wrong with the pastor?" Nothing was wrong with us outside of just we're married too. And we get tired and we get stressed and it's all about everybody else. By the way, make it all about your kids. And guess what? Your kids are going to move away one day. Got excited there for a moment. Kid's going to move away one day and you're going to look across the table and say, "Who are you?" We had a lady one time, missionary wife one time, come through, speak at some ladies' banquet or something. She said, "It's just got to be all about the kids. It's got to be all about the kids. You and your husband are going to have to catch up later on." That's a lie. That's an out of whack marriage right there. It's called balance in our life. But you say, just like I told you, Brother Fugit there, pastor there in Kentucky, said this to one of his staff members one time, staff member said, "I've lost my son's heart." And Brother Fugit said, "I want you to take a couple weeks off. I want you to get out in the woods, go camping with that boy, and don't come down off that mountain until you have that boy's heart again." Well, that's vital because it keeps that line of communication open between you and your child. Wherever you're struggling, try investing more time, talent, and treasure into that area and see if you don't get your heart back in it. I want to use King David as an example in 1 Chronicles 29 in the Old Testament. If you want to turn there, if not, just listen. But 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. Of course, David, I want to use him as an example of the heart following your investment. David wanted to build the temple, the house of God. Of course, God did not allow him to, but he did a lot of pre-work, if you will, and his son Solomon built it. But what happened was David invested in the work, and the more he invested in the work, the more he loved what he was doing. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The more his heart was in it, the more he invested after that. Notice 1 Chronicles 29. He says this in verse number 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. The gold for the things that be of gold, the silver for the things of silver, the brass for the things of brass, the iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of diverse colors, and all manners of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. All right, so David is saying there, he's saying, man, I have put a lot, and this is all stuff he collected and gathered and had people bringing, but he worked really, really hard at investing in the house of God. Look at verse number 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, because I fixed my heart on the things of God, because my treasure is there, therefore my heart is in this, and he says, because my heart was in it, I just gave it more. Look at it. Moreover, because I've set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I've given to the house of my God over and above all that I had prepared for the holy house. All right. So just an example there of it wasn't, well, I'm going to give towards the temple being built and I'm going to see if my heart follows. Friend, listen, he got in all the way, stayed in all the way. He didn't say, well, my heart's not in it anymore. He just kept investing, and his heart was fixed. His heart was settled. He'd say, I just, my heart's not in it anymore, in my marriage. It's just not in my career. It's not in my church. Well, I just tell you, don't allow feelings to control your life. Just decide, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get all the way in. I'm going to give my marriage more effort. I'm going to give my kids more attention. I'm going to go to work and I'm going to be on time and have a right attitude. And I'm going to pour myself out like I used to. I'm going to get as involved in my church as I can be. Why? Because David invested and his heart followed, and then he invested more. The reason we struggle at work or church or at home to keep our heart in it is because we're not properly investing in the right areas. We're just expecting it to always be the way that it is. Well, I married her. It ought to be good. No, marriage is work. It takes work. Well, we joined the church. I tell you what, we'll get on that Shepherd in the Flock program now. We'll see what they could do for us. No. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We're not coming back. 10 times out of every 9, when I find out somebody leaves, first thing I'll go look and see, were they even investing finance? Because I know if they're serving in a ministry or not. You go look, and 10 times out of every 9, they're not even investing financially. Not even paying God his tithes. And I'd say, I'm not going to take me as an excuse or our church as an excuse. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, with that in mind, look at Matthew 6 again. Back in our text, Matthew 6, because all Scripture has one primary interpretation, but it can have many applications. So while this passage can be applied, and we've used it today to apply it to ministry or marriage or career, let's see exactly what God is saying to this crowd and to us today. In Matthew 6, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In our passage, God is telling us that he wants our hearts to be in heaven. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasures are, that there will your heart be also. Also, have you ever heard it said something like this? Well, she's here, but her heart is in. You ever heard something like that? Let me make it, maybe if I said, she's here, but her heart's in Johnson City, Tennessee, or Gray, Tennessee. Just by example, I'm just making stuff up, you know. You ever heard somebody say, well, they're here, but their heart is in. If you've never heard that, you've at least lived that. You ever been on vacation? We're back, but our heart is in that little cabin up there in the hill in Northwest Arkansas. All right, God says he wants us to be so in love with him, so looking forward to heaven, so spiritually minded that they say about us, well, his body's here, but his heart is in heaven. Her body's here. She's living her life. She's doing what God wants her to do. But you could tell that lady loves the Lord and her heart is in heaven. Look at Colossians 3, if you want to turn there quickly. Colossians chapter number 3. I don't have points, so if you're thinking, man, he hadn't got to the points yet. That's some Brother Carl Ogden stuff right there. Amen. No, I don't have points today. I'm just teaching you this truth, and we'll be done. Look at Colossians chapter number 3. All right, verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, if you've been born again, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. Put your heart on things above. Didn't David say that? I've invested and I have, because I have set mine affection on the house of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. I don't know about you, but I am not comfortable in this world today. If you're comfortable with how far downward this society is spiraling, there's something wrong with you as a child of God. It's wickedness. It's crazy the things that this world is doing. But listen, the unsaved world's going to do what the unsaved world does. God says, I just want you to have your heart in heaven. I don't want you to get comfortable here. It was put this way in Hebrews 11 about the old saints of God. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. By the way, God's prepared a place for us too. If you accept Christ by faith that he paid your sin debt on the cross of Calvary, friend, today you'll be adopted into the family of God at that new birth. God's got a home in heaven for you. I don't know about you, with all this craziness and this wickedness, this sensitivity, this homosexuality being promoted everywhere you look, every commercial, every talk show, it's in government, it's everywhere, and it's still wickedness against the Holy God. But I just say this, world is not my home. Amen. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. The Bible says this about the Apostle Paul as he was just about to die. He said in 2 Timothy 4:6, he said, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Listen to this, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. What's he saying there? Paul is saying, man, my heart is already in heaven. If God calls me home today, wonderful. If the Lord comes back today, hey, are you looking forward to it, or is it just going to interrupt your earthly plans? If your heart's in heaven, you say, you know, I'd like to live long enough and see my daughter graduate college, see my son graduate high school, see my daughter get married one day, see my son, I don't know, but I'd like to bounce a grandkid on my knee one day. But listen, friend, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Paul told the church at Philippi, he said, I'm kind of in a strait between two. He said, I want to stay here, but he said, I have a desire also to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. A Christian who has their heart in heaven says this: hey, if God leaves me here, I'm going to enjoy this life. God said, I want you to have life, have it more abundantly. I'm going to enjoy it as long as I can. But if the Lord should call me home, man, my heart is already there. So when God says, lay up treasure in heaven, not on earth, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, he's saying, I don't want you to love the world. I want you to love me. He said in 1 John 2, and I'm not going to read several scriptures, I'm not going to read for sake of time, but he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He says in 1 John 4 and verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Our heart's in heaven. We're not looking to live like the world and act like the world. Our heart, our desire, it's already there in heaven. The Bible says in 1 John 4, 19, we love him because he first loved us. We don't follow our heart. Our heart follows our treasure. So if we're going to have a heart for God and a heart for heaven, we're going to have to invest our life not in the things of this world. The things of this world pass away. But rather we must invest our life in the things of God. Amen. Only one life so soon will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. I've got news break for you. Not all of us are going to live to be 97 years old. So you run into people, family. Unfortunately, it's family sometimes. Maybe it's backslidden church members. Maybe it's folks at work. And they'll say things like this: why do you give your hard-earned money in those offerings? Why do you spend what little time you have working at that church? Why are you always talking about church stuff, Bible stuff, God stuff? Well, it's simple to answer, number one, because God said to. He said it in our text. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. And secondly, the reason I do those things is I want my heart, my focus, my love to be on the things of heaven, not on the things of the world. And he said that in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Look at Hebrews 6. I'm down to the last couple paragraphs here. Hebrews chapter number 6. This is one of the most encouraging passages in the Bible. I know for sake of a preacher, it is, because people come and go a lot. We've helped missionaries over the years. Had a missionary we helped for years and years out of our church, decided he was going to quit, and now runs around town saying, we don't go to that church down there. That church down, old Jeremy runs that like this. They wouldn't even know how I run the church. And I put something online about check people's fruit basket before you listen to their little critiques and criticism. And people that have done nothing, amounted to nothing, but they've got all the answers for those who are still trying to do something for God. But you know what encourages my heart? Is I don't have to worry about what you remember, and you don't have to worry about what I remember, because God doesn't forget. Hey, listen, when they're done with you at your job, they're going to let you go. And they'll never think twice about you. You got that? They'll never think twice about you. They might offer you a severance package. You might get a golden watch. But they're never going to think twice about you. If you walk in there today and quit, they're going to hire somebody else within a week. When you die, everything in your closet, your garage, your storage unit that you worked so hard to attain, guess what? They're going to sell it. Who is they? Whoever gets to it first. They're going to sell it. But the things of God are forever. You say, preacher, we can't have some things. I've got a storage building now. I paid Brother Greg for it last night. Man, he said he's going to send me a late notice. I've got a storage building right now. I've got some stuff in there for my mother-in-law and some other things. I'm not saying, let's go out here and live in a teepee. Well, you can't say that now. You can't say anything anymore. Go out here and live. I just can't say anything because it's going to offend somebody. I'm not saying God says go out there and live destitute and don't have anything and don't put back for a rainy day and don't. All I'm saying is God is saying if your entire focus is on all of that, you're going to drop dead one day. And none of that's going to matter. And when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and I thank the Lord, if you're saved, you're saved. We're not working our way to heaven. We covered that last week, I believe. But when you stand before the Lord, do you want to stand there empty-handed? And say, Lord, but you don't understand. You ought to see all the bucks and turkeys on my wall. Doesn't matter. But you don't understand. Look at all the riches I had in my bank account. Doesn't matter. But you don't understand, Lord. I got all these ribbons and trophies. Doesn't matter. I love Hebrews 6. Look at verse number 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Verse 10. You know, if I could just stop there, we live in a world today where there are a lot of preachers out there, a lot of churches out there, and they're teaching basically nothing accompanies salvation. If you just get saved and you come to our minute a month club and we'll have a good time, and they never say you need to be baptized, you ought to have the right kind of Bible, you ought to grow in the Lord. There's no teaching. There's no basic stuff. There's a lot of things that accompany salvation. I love this, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints. Listen to this. And do minister. Everybody do this real quick. Yep, you're still breathing. God still expects you to serve him. I'll tell you what, you should have saw me back in the 90s. God's got it recorded. You're still breathing. Well, I'll tell you, you should have saw me back when I used to teach a class. I'm glad. God won't forget. He will not forget. But you're still breathing. God still wants you to do something for him. God is not unrighteous to forget. It says you do minister. Verse 11, and we desire that every one of you, do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hey, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Pour your heart into the things of God. Pour your heart into things that matter, because that is going to be the rewarding life. I was talking to Joshua the other day about college and his plans for the future, and just kind of trying to get him geared, get him on the right runway to wherever he believes God wants him to be. And he's like, Dad, I just don't know. 4 years of college. I said, well, if you go to 4 years for a certain degree, he was talking about, I said, it's going to go by like that. He's like, I don't know, 4 years in a row. I said, Joshua, because I went to secular college before Bible college, I said, I went to college 6 years in a row. 6 years in a row. And I said, man, that wore me out, but it's over with. Now you come to my office and I have a high school diploma, Willis Point Tigers. And I have a piece of paper that says bachelor's degree, and I have a piece of paper that says master's degree. It's not even on my wall anymore. Why? It fell off. When I remodeled, I put it back up there and I'm working. It's like, dunk. All right, Lord. But God's not going to say, show me your degrees. He's not going to say, show me your bank account. He's not going to say, show me the certificates that you've received. That's wonderful stuff. God's people ought to be the best employees and the best students. But at the end of your life, all that's really going to matter is, was your heart in heaven or was it right here in the things of the world? Hey, maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your kid relationship, child, parent-child relationship. Maybe it's your job. You're dreading going back tomorrow. Hey, try it. Just put more effort back into it. See if your heart doesn't get back into that job. The things of God. I'm going to read you this. Luke 12 says this. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he, Christ, said unto this fellow, unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let me encourage you as a child of God. Do whatever it takes. Invest whatever you have to invest in whatever area it is to get back to loving the things of God again. Get your heart back into it. Your personal life, if there's something there, follow that formula. Do whatever it takes to get your heart back into it again. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can live your entire life and be the best employee, the best spouse, the best parent, and you probably are. But the Bible says if I leave this life without knowing Christ as my Savior, I'll burn in a devil's hell forever. God wants to save you today. And God can save you. And He loves you enough, He will save you if you accept Him as Savior.